me. But this morning we're returning to Matthew's Gospel. And this morning we're in chapter 11 and we're going to start reading at verse 25. Now we're spending our Sunday mornings in Matthew chapter 11 to 13, just looking at this small section of the life of Jesus and his teachings. And as we come to this section, what we're seeing here is the way that people respond to Jesus. So as they see his works, his miracles, as they hear his words, they listen to his teaching, people will react, they will respond in all sorts of different ways. Last week we saw that some people, they doubt. They're not sure. Even people who've believed in Jesus sometimes have their doubts. And we also saw last week that some people are just defiant. They don't want to do anything. They see the works and they hear his words, but they don't want to do anything. And this morning, boys and girls, as I read, I want you to listen, because this morning, Jesus tells us how we should respond. What is the right way to respond to the words and to the works of Jesus? So let me read, see if you can spot it, and then we'll have a think about what he says together. So Matthew 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's say a quick prayer and then we're going to think. I want to give you three words. That's all we're going to think about this morning. Three words about how we should respond to Jesus. So here they are, and then you're going to say them with me. So they're come, take, learn. Can we say those together? Come, take, learn. Now, I think we need some actions to help us to remember these. So come is going to be this. So we can do that. Come. Can you say that? One, two, three. Come. Take is going to be take. One, two, three. Take. And then learn. We're going to touch our heads as if we're kind of learning lots of things. So one, two, three. Learn. And these are three words that Jesus gives us this morning to help us understand how we should respond to him, how we should respond to his words, the teachings that he gives as we read them on the pages of Matthew's Gospel. These are three words that show us how we should respond to the works of Jesus. As we see his miracles, as we see him kind of turn a little bit of bread into lots of bread, as we see him raise the dead, as we see him do miracles of opening people's eyes and healing people with leprosy, as we see his... Sorry, Isaiah, we're keeping you up, buddy. We've only just started. Give us a chance. As we look at these miracles of Jesus, but most of all, as we see his cross and his resurrection, how should we respond? These three words help us. So we say them together. Number one, come. Number two, take. And number three, learn. So let's think about these words together. Here's the first one. The first word is come. Now, grown-ups, if you've got a Bible, and girls, boys and girls, I'm just going to read it to you, but look at verse 28. Look at what Jesus says. He says, come to me. Come to me. That's what Jesus calls us to do. He wants people to move towards him. As they see his words and his works, he wants people to come to him. Now, who likes sweets here this morning? I know my children like sweets. Anyone like sweets? Now, do you believe that I've got a bag of sweets up here somewhere? Do you believe that? Good, I'm glad you believe that. So here they are. I have a bag of lollies this morning. Now, does anyone want a lolly? William, would you like a lolly? Do you want to come up and get one, William? Yeah. Come on then. You can come and get one. Come and get one from me. You might get one later. Come and get one from me. There we go. Do you want to pick one? And then maybe you can save that for afters. Is that all right, Mum and Dad? Just check in. That's good. Yeah. I don't want to be in trouble with Mum and Dad for that one. Anyone else want one? Louise, would you like one? Come on up. Come and get one from me. Oh, Isaiah's on as well. Do you want to come and get one as well, Isaiah? Come to me and get one. There we go. There we go. And you can get one too. Now listen, I'm sure you all want one, but if you all want one, I'm going to leave them down here afterwards and you can come and get one later. But this is the thing. If you wanted a lolly from me, what did you have to do? What did you have to do this morning? What did you have to do? You have to ask for it. Yeah, you could have asked for it, but what did you do? You had to come, didn't you? You had to leave where you were and you had to come all the way over here and you had to come to me. And the same is true when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. What are we meant to do? As we hear the words of Jesus and we see the works, all the miracles recorded, the first thing that we should do is we should come to Jesus. Not if we want a sweet, but if we want rest. Look again at verse 28 if you've got a Bible in front of you. Boys and girls, listen carefully. Look at what he says. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Now that word means relief. He wants to bring relief. Now just look at who he invites. Who does he invite? Anyone spot it? Some of the grown-ups can call out. Who does he invite? The weary and the burdened. You're allowed to talk in church. It's okay. You're weary and the burden. Jesus gives us two pictures. First of all, he gives us the picture of being weary. Can you do this? Can you do that with me? The weary. The word means tired, but not sleepy. The word means being tired from working really hard at something, from struggling with something. The other day, we went for a really long walk as a family, and we were going up a hill together, and one of my younger boys turned around to me, and he looked up, and he just said, "Dad, my legs are empty." You ever heard that? I know exactly what he means. You ever heard that when you're walking up a hill, and you just think, "My legs are empty, and I can't go another step"? And sometimes that's how we can feel in life, because of the difficult things that we're facing, the difficult things that we're struggling with. We live in a world, the Bible tells us, that's broken because of sin, because we've turned away from God. And life is full of things that just make our legs feel empty. And we feel, can you do it with me? Weary, 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 weary. And that's how we can feel in life. And Jesus says, well, if you feel like that, maybe that's you this morning. If you feel like that, what does he say? Come to me. The second word he uses is the word burdened. Levi, come up here for a second. The idea of burdened is the idea of carrying heavy things. Okay, here you go, son. Put this on. So it's a bit like going through life, and there are lots of things in life that just feel very, very heavy to carry around. So it might be, for example... That's right, no. He's been begging me about this. Don't do it, Dad. Don't do it, he says. Okay, so this here's a brick, but imagine... This might go horribly wrong. Are you all right? It's okay. At least you're my son. So sometimes in life, we feel like we're carrying around heavy things. So it might be that some of us are not very well, and it feels like a big struggle. Are you okay? There we go. And we're walking through life, and we are carrying heavy things. It might be the burden... okay, going to go for another one. It might be the burden of just trying to live life with keeping everybody around you happy. Maybe you live life that way and you think, I just can't keep everybody happy. I can't keep up. I can't make everybody like me. And it feels like you're carrying, are you right? Carrying around a heavy burden. It might be other things like, for example, you good? Is it feeling heavy yet? It might be, for example, that you're seeking for God, and it feels like this big burden that you can't carry around because you think, well, what's the truth about God? Or maybe you're living life with heavy burdens of trying to keep a list of rules because you want to try and keep God happy. And sometimes in life, are you okay? It feels like you're carrying around a great big burden on your back. You good? Let's take that. Very good. Thank you very much. You can sit down. So life can be weary, 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 and life can feel heavy, 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 okay? And that's what life can be like living in a broken world for all sorts of reasons. And Jesus says, if you feel like that, if that's what life feels like to you, whether you're younger here or a little bit older, then Jesus says, come to me. That's what Jesus says. That's the right way to respond. If life feels that way, if your search for God feels that way, if you feel burdened by just trying to keep up with obeying rules to make God happy, he says, come to me. And what does he say he'll give you? I will give you, what does he say? What's the word? Rest. I will give you rest. Now, the important question is, what does Jesus mean by rest? When he says, I'll give you rest, does he mean he's going to take away all your troubles if you come to him? No, that's not what he's talking about. He talks here, if we look a little bit further, about rest for your souls. Relief for your souls. It's relief and rest in the middle of the weariness and the burdens. It's not taking away them. It's rest and relief while you live through them. And what is this rest? It's really important that we understand this. What is this rest that Jesus gives us? I want to say to you this morning, it is the rest of knowing God in heaven as your Father. That is the rest that he gives us in the middle of our weariness and burdens. Grown-ups, if you've got a Bible, let's look at verse 27. Boys and girls, listen in really carefully because this is what Jesus wants us to understand. Jesus says, all things have been committed to me by my Father. So Jesus has kind of super authority, okay? He's super in charge. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son. They have this closest of relationships, the best of relationships. They know each other so well. But then look at what else. Who else knows the Father? He goes on to say, and also those who know the Father are those to whom the Son chooses to reveal the Father. The one to whom the Son brings into this closest of relationships with God in heaven that you can even call him Father. Isn't that amazing? And in the middle of our relief, in our struggles and our weariness and our burdens, we can know the relief of being part of the Father's family. The Father in heaven calls us his children. As Jesus died on a cross, and as he rose to life, he was doing everything needed for people like us, weary and burdened by living in a broken world, to have rest, to know God as our Father. And that rest comes now. That you can have that rest now, the rest of knowing God, the rest of your sins forgiven, not carrying around the guilt of all those things that we've done. We can know that today. But Jesus also promises rest in the future, where one day he will take away all those things that make us weary, weary. Can we do weary? And all those things that are heavy, heavy, heavy. Jesus says you can know the rest of knowing God as your Father in heaven. So what's the first word? The first word, can we say it together? One, two, three. Come. It is come to Jesus. And I want to ask you, whether you're young here this morning or whether you're a little bit older, have you come to Jesus? Have you deliberately moved towards him? Because that's how we should respond when you see how amazing Jesus is. When you see all these things he taught and when you see all these things that he did on the pages of the Bible, we should first of all say, I should go to Jesus. So have you come to Jesus? And that raises the question, well, how do I come to Jesus? Some of you might be thinking, well, he's not here. I can't walk up onto the platform and come and see him. So how do you come to Jesus this morning? Well, you pray to him. You come towards him and say, Jesus, I really want that rest. Jesus is alive. He's in heaven. He hears us. And we're invited to come to him. And for those of you, just boys and girls, just give me a second here, because some of this is big stuff, and we're going to think about it together. But grown-ups, you might be wondering how verse 25 and 26 fits with this invitation of Jesus. Because boys and girls, in verse 25 and 26, Jesus praises the Father, and he says, well, look, you've hidden these things from some people, and you've shown them to others. And these things that he's talking about there are the truths about Jesus. As you see his words and his works, do you see who he is, or is it hidden from you? And Jesus says to us in those words that it's those who come to Jesus, It's those who move towards him and ask for rest who show themselves to be the little children to whom the Father has revealed the truth, humble and dependent upon him. So, first word, can we do it together? One, two, three. Come. And my question for you is, have you come to Jesus this morning? What's the second word? Can you remember? Take. Brilliant. So let's do that together. One, two, three. Take. And let me put that word up here. So we've got that. Now there's something, as we respond to Jesus, as we see his words and his works, there's something that Jesus wants us to take from him. Now, let's have a look, listen in to see what he wants us to take. Now this is a funny one, okay? So you've got to listen really carefully and we've got to think about what it means. In verse 29, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. That's a bit odd, isn't it? Take my yoke upon you. Do you think Jesus wants us to take an egg from him? No, he doesn't really. Now, a yoke is something that they used to... Now, it looks awful. You're thinking, you know, you're not going to win many people with a picture like that, are you? Take my yoke upon you. But this was something that they used to use on cattle to tie them together and help them carry loads. Now, okay, I'm going to use my boys again. Come on, Levi and Zev, up you come. Just for COVID safety. So, right, here we go, boys. Levi's face is a picture. I hadn't prepared him for this one. Right, boys, you carry... No, it's not a stick. We're not going to fight with it, okay? So, yeah, you come here for a second. Right, now, here's what you used to do, okay? With a big bar like this, they used to lay it across their shoulders. Can you hold on to it like this? Now, give me your best cow noises. That was solid. Yeah, yeah. You got a better cow noise than that?
No.
That's good. Moo. There we go. So, here we go. Two cows... my sons, and they have a bar across their shoulders, and the farmer could then use this bar to show them where to go, so that the farmer, using this bar, could control, had authority, had authority over them. And this bar, which was called a yoke, became a picture for having authority. It became a picture for being under someone's authority. Thanks, boys, you can sit down. And Jesus, no, you can't keep it, no. This bar, this yoke, became a picture for being under someone's authority. And Jesus says what he wants us to do is take his yoke. He wants us, as we see his words and his works, to come to him and to live under his authority. He says, take my yoke from you. He says, come to me and say, look, I want you to be in charge, Jesus. Jesus, I want you to tell me what to do. That's what it means to take his yoke upon you. So I want to be your disciple. Now, that's a really big thing, isn't it? Because most of us in life spend our life trying to get rid of that bar. We don't want God to be in charge. And we try and shake the bar off and we break it and we get angry because we want to do things our way. But a disciple, someone who comes to Jesus, says, Jesus, I want you to be in charge. I want you to tell me what to do. I want you to show me where to go. I want to be a disciple. That's what it means to take a yoke. And I want to ask you guys this morning, have you done that? Have you said to Jesus, Jesus, I want you to be in charge? Now, if you're going to let someone be in charge, you kind of have to know what they're like, don't you? Because some of us may have had people in charge of us who aren't very nice. Who's ever had a horrid teacher? Anyone had a horrid teacher? I hope not. Oh, that's good. I'm glad you haven't had a horrid teacher. But sometimes you might end up with a horrid teacher who shouts at you all the time and you have to sit on your chair all the time and you feel really like, oh, I don't want them to be in charge. Or perhaps it's something else in life. I was chatting to a friend in church this week who has a really horrible boss at work. And this boss made it really, really hard. It wasn't our staff team, I assure you that. It had a really horrible boss at work. And they were really struggling because this person made life so difficult. Now, do you want someone like that to be in charge of you? Would you want someone like that? Would you want a big, mean teacher at school? No, I wouldn't want a big, mean teacher at school. So when you come to Jesus and you say, Jesus, I want you to be in charge, what's he like? What's he like if you're going to let him be in charge? Well, he tells us. Have a look at verse 29. Listen in, boys and girls. Listen to what he's like. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. He's gentle. That means that he doesn't get angry quickly. He's full of kindness. He deals kindly with people. And he's humble. That means that he puts others before himself. That's a nice thing, isn't it? This is Jesus, remember, who left heaven and came to earth and went to a cross for others, for us. This is Jesus who says, let me be in charge. The one who's humble and gentle with us. He's not mean. He won't abuse you. He won't make you do things that are bad for you. He is humble and gentle, look what he says, in heart. Which means this is not just something he's putting on. This is who he is to the very center of his being. And he says, let me be in charge. And that's why verse 30, if grown-ups, you've got a Bible there, verse 30, he says, my yoke, the bar I put on, is easy, and my burden is light. Now, that word easy actually means it fits. It fits well. And it fits well because that's the way you were made to live. You were made to live with God in charge, with Jesus in charge. And so it's not a burden. It's not heavy, heavy, heavy. And it's not weary, weary, weary doing the things Jesus wants us to do. It's easy. It fits. And there's relief in doing so. So my question for you this morning is, will you take Jesus' yoke upon you? Will you let him be in charge? Will you let him teach you what's right and wrong? Will you say to him, I want you to be in charge? So, two words. You will with me? Everyone still with us, alive in this room? That's good. Two words. First word, come. Second word, take. What's the third word? Learn. We need to learn. Here it is. I'm going to put that one up there. So let's have a listen into what Jesus says. He says, take my yoke upon you and, what does he say? Learn from me. That's the right way to respond to Jesus. As we see his words and his works written in the Bible, how should we respond? We should want to learn from Jesus. We should become lifetime learners. Now, really scarily, thankfully not these two, but my eldest son is about to learn to drive, which means that very recently we've had to buy some of these. Now, anyone recognize those? Have you ever seen, boys and girls, have you ever seen a car driving round with these on them? Have you ever seen that? Have you seen that, William? Yeah. That means that the person inside is learning to drive. They're being taught. Someone's sitting next to them, and they're saying, right, now you need to do this, and now you need to do that, and we're going to go this way and that way. And they're learning. All the time, they're learning how to drive. Now, Zeb, let me borrow you one more time, just because you're mine. So, here's the thing. If that's what a car driver needs, if you become a disciple of Jesus, then we should be putting on L plates too. Because actually, a disciple of Jesus is someone who has become a lifetime learner from Jesus. We should be saying to Jesus, Jesus, I want to learn from you. I want to learn the things that you tell me are right and wrong. I want to learn to do things your way. And it's not just learning from his example, it's actually learning from his words. Because Jesus says that he reveals the Father to us. So where are you going to go if you want to know the Father? You have to go to Jesus, because his words teach us what the Father's like. And so can I ask you this morning, is that you? Have you heard the words and the works of Jesus? Have you responded by saying, I want to learn? Is that still you? Some of us have been following Jesus for lots of years, but have you still got your L plates on? Are you still coming to him? Now, there's loads of cool ways. Let me tell you some ways that you can learn from Jesus. Maybe that's a newer idea to you. So if you can sit down, you can take your L plate with you. Yeah. Here's the one of the ways. Let me encourage you to grab a Bible. If you don't own a Bible here this morning, then let me give you one after church. Because actually, the way that we learn from Jesus is by listening to his words as we have them in the Bible here. Boys and girls, if you don't have a Bible at home, nag your parents. Say, I want a Bible at home. I want to read it. I want to learn from Jesus. Come along to church. There's so much going on at church, and most of the things that we do at church, we'll get a Bible open because we want to learn together from Jesus. Come to a kids' club. Come to Treasure Hunters. This isn't the notices slot, by the way. But come to these things because that's where we're going to learn from Jesus. Pick a friend in church and say, should we read a bit of the Bible together? These are ways that together we keep learning from Jesus. And you can remember that he is an excellent teacher. Why? Because he's gentle and he's humble in heart. He's not harsh with us. He knows that we get things right and wrong sometimes. He knows that we have good days and bad days. He's a gentle teacher. He's an excellent teacher. And so come and learn from him. Now just look at verse 29. There's one more thing I want to point out, okay? Verse 29. Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Actually, in learning to do things Jesus' way, I want you to see this morning that there is great rest and relief in life. We live in a very confused world. Boys and girls, you all know this. All the time at school and around the world, we are being told that certain things are right and wrong. And everyone is dead confused, aren't they, about what's right and wrong at the moment. But actually, if you come to Jesus and you learn from him, he says you're going to find rest. You're going to find relief because his yoke is easy. It fits. It's not a burden to do the things he says. And so actually, I want to encourage you this morning that coming to Jesus in a confused world is a way that you can find rest and relief in a world that just doesn't really know what's right and wrong at the moment. So here we are. We're going to finish it up. Are you ready? Three words. Can you do them with me? Number one, come. Number two, take. Number three, learn. These are three words that Jesus gives us to know how we should respond to his words and to his work. Come to him. Ask Jesus to give you rest for your soul. Rest now of knowing God as your Father in heaven, forgiven in the closest of relationships with him. Take from him. Say to Jesus, "Jesus, I want you to be in charge." And then start that lifetime of learning from him. Have you done that? Whether you're young here this morning, whether you're a little bit older, have you done that yet? Do it today. Come to Jesus and say, "Jesus, I want that rest." And here's the important question for lots of us in this room. Is that how you're still responding to Jesus? Do you still, every day, come to him, take from him, say, "Jesus, I want you to be in charge today," and learn from him? Boys and girls, grown-ups, if you'd like to do that this morning, if you'd like to come to Jesus, then I'm just going to say a short prayer now. And if you want to do that this morning, if you feel ready to do that, then you can just say amen at the end of the prayer. And that will help you to know how to come to Jesus this morning. But let me lead us in a prayer. Lord Jesus, I come to you today for rest. Thank you that you died and rose again so that I could have rest for my soul now and for all eternity. I want to take your yoke upon me and learn from you from day to day. Amen. 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 Well, we're going to sing a song now. As a church, we haven't been able to sing together for quite a long time, but there's only one song we could really sing as a church, which is "Come to Me, All You Who Are Weary and Burdened, and I Will Give You Rest." So it's perhaps unfamiliar to some of us, but we're going to sing it. So let's stand and sing "Come to Me, All You Who Are Weary."